Romans chapter 12. First, we'll start reading there. And this morning, I was all out of sorts. We got up. I didn't know if my wife and kids would be coming to church. I got here, and I forgot to tell my little sister happy birthday, so we appreciate Sister Kayla. We didn't sing to her, and I'm not going to sing to you now. You're going to have to take this. I love you, and happy birthday to her. And I think she's a ripe old 20-something years old, 22, I think it is. And so just pray for her. She's got a lot of life left ahead of her. No retirement in sight, is it? Amen. But God is good. Appreciate her and Brother Shane. And they tried to go camping over the weekend, but they came back early. You can ask them all the details. And I said, it's just like that. You see people go camping, you see it advertised, everybody's all happy and smiling. But I know better than that. I know better than that. And it's just good to be reminded every now and then. So I don't plan on going camping no time soon. So I want to read one verse to you out of the book of Romans chapter 12 here this evening. And that is verse 11. And once again, then I'll be going back to Acts chapter 18. But Romans 12 and verse 11. Romans 12 and 11. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Read that again. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Go, if you would, to Acts 18. Acts chapter 18. And we'll give you a moment just to get there. Acts chapter 18. And we're going to start reading there in verse 24. And it says in Acts 18 and verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being, notice this, fervent in spirit. I want you to notice that. It's important. He goes on to say, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. I want you to notice there, when I read to you in Romans 12 and 11, it mentions that we need to be fervent in spirit. And if you do a cross-reference, the only other place that's mentioned in that wording you find right there in Acts chapter 18 in reference to Apollos. So I want to preach to you tonight on fervency. I want to preach to you on fervency. And I think it's important that we realize just how much we need it in our churches. Every church needs to be fervent. Amen. I want you to understand there's a difference in having knowledge. There's a difference in having charisma. And there's a difference in having ability. There's different. All those things are good and they can be used for the glory of God. I believe there's many gifted people in this church. I believe many of you in this church have great qualities about you. But when it comes to the things of God, more than just what we know, we need to be fervent. We need to be, as that word's going to imply, and we are going to discuss, we need to be boiling over on the inside. You know, for years, the church has had a little bit of a problem. They'll say, you know what, something's wrong with the music. And so they'll begin to try to orchestrate all these different things. And they'll try to do this and do that, when really the problem isn't with the worship as much as it is with the worshiper. Amen. And then there it is. Sometimes people say, well, it's the preaching. And I want to tell you, there's not so much wrong with the preaching as much as there can be something wrong with the preacher. What I'm trying to establish in your hearts tonight, and in this little message, I don't know how long it'll be. I want to let you know tonight, you need to be fervent in your service to the Lord. You need to be fervent in your service to the Lord. And I want you to pray with me as we pray over this message, that you ask God to ignite a fire in your heart, that we here at this church will be the church we need to be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We need fervency in our churches. Our hearts need to be set afire by the Holy Ghost once again in these last days. God, I realize we live in a world where there's a lot of half-heartedness, God. There's a laziness that is set in among the believers, among the secular world, an easiness about us, a lax in duty, things that have been neglected for many years. But God, I would tonight you would help us along the lines of our fervency. And we love you in Jesus' name. Have your way in this service. And we thank you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As I begin to focus on this word fervency here tonight, I want us to understand something. We here in the 2018, we live in this nice time. And how many can say we're pretty spoiled and have a lot of good and nice things about us? Amen. My dad even told me, he said, son, when I was your age, what was a credit card? What was it to be able to go get a loan so easily in that time without high interest or having to do all these different things? And I begin looking at when I think of the pioneering spirit that helped found the Pentecostal movement. Men that would get on the back of horses and would ride very rough terrain through the winter months as they would go across this country with a Bible in their hand and they would go to preach the word of the Lord. I think of the early evangelists who would take their families and back in the 1800s, back before they had the traveling or the modern travel that we have today, and they would hook up to a wagon and there they would nail to the side of that wagon that Jesus saves. And they would go from town to town and city to city as they were preaching the word of the Lord. I want to tell you what drove these men and these women in those early years of ministry. And even when I think about the early missionary movements, I think about missionary travel today. You know, we get on a plane, we call them short-term mission trips. We go over there just enough to get a view of everything, just a week of it. And then we get back on the plane and we come back here and we just share with each other. I can share with you. Others will share with you what they have seen. There was a time that men would actually pack their clothes in their casket, put it on a ship because they never expected to return back to their hometown because they knew that they were going to die on the mission field. And even then, I was reading about these movements and the early Pentecostal efforts and going forward. And as I told you recently, I've been revamping my mind on the Pentecostal message and where we came from. What has always driven our churches and what has always driven the pioneers of our day is because they had a deep down burning in their hearts. They had a fervency to share the good news. They had been ignited by the Holy Ghost to take this to the far ends of the world, no matter what it would cost them, no matter the sacrifice. They considered the sacrifice in this world to be a small thing to the reward that they would gain in another. That is what drove them. That is what propelled them. They were fervent about their business. They may not have the education that some have today. Many of them may have never been to a seminary. Many of them would never know what it is to own some of the commentaries or the resources that our generation today has, and what it is, how comfortable we are in the church setting. Even the old bull rush meetings, as they would set up the trees over there, and they would gather underneath those old branches, and there's mosquitoes and there was fleas. And I was reading about these early movements, yet hundreds of them would come out to hear the word of the Lord. What propelled these men and what propelled these women was nothing more than a fervency for the things of God. Once again, we need to learn to be fervent in our service to the Lord. The laziness that I'm going to speak of here tonight, all of us in one way or another probably has been touched by it, unknowingly probably more than others, but we have become lazy in our spirituality. We have become a tendency to complain about the silliest of things. Amen. Myself included. It's easy to maybe get, not even complaining so much in a sinful fashion, but it's easy to get discontent with this or discontent with that. And I even wonder right here tonight just what would happen maybe if the electricity went out. It would be so out of culture for us even to get into the spirit and to worship the Lord because we're so accommodated to these things. But I'm telling you, there's been generations and for generations upon generations that worship God and they never had electricity. They worship God and they never owned a commentary. They didn't have nothing but Bibles and they had nothing but the Spirit of the Lord, but yet they were fervent in their service to the Lord. Here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, the very first little phrase that we're going to focus on here tonight tells us not to be slothful in business. And I begin reading about that little phrase there, not to be slothful in business. And many commentators agree in the original language that business maybe is probably not the best word to look at there. And they actually translate it like this in some of the original manuscripts, not to be lazy in zeal. The Greek wording here talks about haste and zeal. And what Paul is saying is, don't grow lazy in the work for the Lord. Don't be a lazy Christian is what he is saying. Don't be one of those Christians that has no fight in you. Don't be slothful. Don't you know, if we're not careful, once again, I believe that's why there is so many mind battles. That's why there is so much failure, because men and women have too much time on their hands and they're not good. You know, it's one thing to be good steward of your money, which is good, and it's good to be good stewards of all these different things, but you need to be a good steward of your time as well. If we're not careful, we can just waste days on end and time on time. I'm 31 years old, and I've got people that are my age that have told me that they can spend 4 hours playing video games, and I thought to myself, where do you get the time to do such a thing? I just don't understand it, but yet they don't have time to go to church and all these other. What I'm trying to tell you is this: priorities are often mixed up in this generation. I mean, they have time to go see a movie, they have time to go watch a game, they have time to go for this hobby and time for that, but nobody has time to pray. And what a tragedy that is in these last days. We need a fervency back in the attendance in the house of the Lord. We need a fervency back in our study of God's word. We need a fervency back in our giving into the kingdom of God. We need a fervency back into our prayer lives. We need that boiling over. We need to be busy and busy ourselves with the kingdom of God. Don't be slothful in service. Don't grow lazy in the work of the Lord. You need spiritual zeal. Don't reduce your commitment to pursuing God's will. You need to be fervent about your pursuit of the will of God every day, every week, every month of your life. That's why Galatians 6 and 9, Paul tells us, be not weary in well-doing. It echoes that again in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 13. There has been a sense of urgency, and there has to be a sense of urgency and intensity in the Christian life. There's no room for laziness in these last days, but laziness has crept in to the house of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, Solomon gave some very wise advice to all of us. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, doeth it with all of thy might. He said, because soon is the grave, which means you only have one life to work for the Lord. You only have a short season of time to spend and being consumed for his glory and for his ministry. And we think about that, church. Some of you that I'm 30 years old, and here it is. I may, if God's good to me, and I'm fine if God allows me to live to 80 or 90 or even 100. But I'm telling you, there's been many a good man and women that died at the age of 60. And here I am. I could be halfway through my life. If God allows me to have another 30 or 40 years here on planet Earth, what will I do for his glory? But let me ask you a question. What am I doing now, and what are you doing now for the glory of God? We got several elders in the church, and we appreciate the eldership and the leadership and the testimony, but guess what? You still need to be on fire for God. Oh yes, we still have to be fervent. Young men, young women, young adults, hear me, you still need to be on fire for God. God, set us on fire again. God, give us a fervency. We only have one life to live. Isaiah 56 and 10 talks about the leaders of Israel. He said, Israel's watchmen are blind. They are ignorant. They are like dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. He's referring to the leadership that is lazy, that is not spending their time wisely for the glory of God. And once again, that's what we need to be. The ministers of Christ, all of us that are called according to his purpose, all of us that are in the will, that are seeking to do the will of God, you need to be doing it with all of your might. Proverbs 18 and 9 gives us many different, the book of Proverbs gives us a lot of different pictures of what it is to be lazy in the work of God. But he goes on to say this: he who is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster of time and a great waster. You can waste your life. Hear me. You can waste your life. Imagine right now, if you had to go lay on your deathbed, would you be content? How many souls have you won? How many have you even tried to win? How long have you been in the same spiritual condition you were last year? or the year before? Are you growing? Are you in continuance? Are you understand what I'm saying here? I'm challenging you. This is what the Bible does. The Bible will never allow us to be content. When I say content, it never lets us know that we just need to put our feet up and never do anything for Christ. Yes, there's times of relaxation and times that the shepherd allows us to rest. But I'm telling you, some of us rest a lot more spiritually than what we need to. We need to do more for the kingdom of God, starting with me and everybody that is in this room. Ephesians 5 and 16 talks about redeeming the time. Hebrews 6, 11 through 12, and it says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful." You don't need to waste your life. You don't need to waste your time. Do something for the kingdom of God and let Him be glorified through you. Goes on to tell us then, not only don't be slothful in business, but our second point tonight is this: how do we combat the slothfulness? How do we keep from going there? You must be fervent in spirit. The word fervent there means to boil with heat. I want you to think about that. Is your worship a resemblance of the overflow that's inside of your life? Is your prayer life boiling over inside of you? Is it something that just ushers out of you? Is your witnessing, is your identification with the things of God, is it something that is boiling within you? Is it a fire that is shut up in your bones? Or can we be content with not going to the house of the Lord? Or can you be content without surrendering your will to Christ on a daily basis, on a weekly basis? Are we content with not doing the will of God? And if we're not careful, right here preaching something like this, instantly the secular wisdom and rationality kicks in and says, "But Brother Derek, well, we got to be able to do this, and we need to be able to do this and do that." I want to ask you, what are we doing for the kingdom of God? I know we can fall underneath the spirit of condemnation when we feel like we're trying to do everything in our own power and effort. I'm not referring to that, but I'm talking about doing the will of God in your life. You must do His will. I'm glad that it was instilled in me as soon as I got saved, do God's will. Well, in order to do it, you got to know what it is, right? And then some people will tell you, well, you know, the will of God is one of those things you kind of just craft out your life and you know, it'll just all fit together. That's not the way I was raised, and that's not the way I found the will of God. I know I've shared these things with you before, but Brother Derek, why are you preaching? It's the will of God. I did not vote to preach, I tell you that. There was never a day in my life that I woke up and said, "You know what? I think I want to preach today. It's not working out in the grain industry. I think I'll just take up this preaching thing." If that was the case, I wouldn't be preaching today. Matter of fact, I would even say that there's a few times I tried to get away from it. We tried to avoid, "Lord, what are you doing, Jesus? You know, this is, you can't, me, I'm not able to do that. I don't have the ability. I to be sure you haven't called me to preach. To be sure it's not me." No, it was the will of God. He called me to preach. People said, "How do you know when you get married?" Pray about it. Find the will of God. Some of you might be able to relate in some of this stuff, but you know, nothing breaks your heart more when you're a young teenage boy and you think you love a girl and come to find out God tells you she's not the one and you didn't love her. I mean, you think you got it figured out. Well, she's in church, Jesus. It doesn't matter. She can be in church, but it doesn't mean it's the will of God. Come on. Sometimes we're not careful. We think, "Well, they're in church, and then it's got." No, I think, no, God is the one reason I married Sister Holly. I could take you to the spot the night I called. As soon as I felt peace about it, I called up Brother Irvin, my pastor, before I ever told her. I called Brother Irvin. I said, "Brother Irvin, I got peace about it." He was on the other end, and he said, "Praise the Lord, I feel a witness in my spirit." Somebody said, "That may sound crazy." That's the Holy Ghost and how He works. Well, I think, you know, this makes sense that if I marry her and her family and, you know, other stuff, we don't live that way. My wife didn't marry me because of my family, I promise you that. I didn't marry her because of hers. But God has a will. Just this weekend, and I remember just sharing these things with you, trying to just share my heart with you. I went to my home church where I'm from, And if you've ever been there, you know, you look up there on that hill. Matter of fact, Elise called me yesterday and she said, "Where's that place at?" And matter of fact, don't have a mailbox because the mailman lady can't even find it. And here it is. You know, she said, "We're up here." I said, "You go back this way. It's right there in that swamp. There's a look up there on the hill. And here it is. It's just this little tiny building. And out beside it is a little Sunday school trailer. I remember the day I helped Brother Irvin hook up to that trailer. And we pulled it from Elizabeth City. We backed it up there. He said, "We can have Sunday school in there. That'd be a good Sunday school trailer." Still having kids in there for Sunday school. But I remember when I was praying for the will of God, and I remember Sister Holly, and I was just praying. I said, "God, I want to be in your will." And I remember going to church early, and I heard a group of young ladies praying in the Sunday school trailer, speaking in other tongues. My wife was among them. And I told my Lord then, I said, "God, if you allow me to marry that young lady and do your will, if it's your will, it'll work out." What are you saying, Brother Derek? There has to be a fervency in seeking for the will of God. Has to be a fervency. You say, "Well, I think I'll move here." You better know it's God's will. "I think I'll go to this church." You better know it's the will of God to leave this one. What are you trying to say? Know the will of God. And the only way that you can know the will of God is have a fervency in your prayer life and a fervency in your surrender to Him. It says we must be fervent in spirit. We cannot be lukewarm like the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. The Christian life ought to be filled with enthusiasm and zeal and excitement and joy and dedication. I love that about the believers that are on fire for God. I know everybody has a different personality and there's different people, but I love when those that are excited and enthusiastic about doing something for the kingdom of God. Some people may be seen more often than others, some behind the scene, but have enthusiasm working for the kingdom of God. If I'm a preacher, I ought to be excited and boiling over for doing this. If you're a Sunday school teacher, let your heart be on fire to teach. If you're singing music, if you're playing an instrument, if you're working in any other aspect of ministry, be on fire for it. Can't tell you how damaging it can be. And there's no reflection here, but just in ministry over the years, I've traveled some places that the Sunday school teacher was so dead that I think I'd rather go sit out in the car because there was nothing coming out of his lips that made any sense. I'll be honest with you. And what it is, he had a little Sunday school courtly. He probably woke up that morning, read over it. And when I get up there, and I've watched him read from the first line to the last, got done and there was 40 minutes left in the Sunday school class. He said, "Just talk among yourselves." He ought not to be teaching the Sunday. Now, I know the Sunday school teachers here, they ain't having that problem. I don't know too many of them's got 40 minutes left over at the end of class. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Thank God for fervency. Thank God for fervency. Thank God for fervent ministers. We need to have it about us. Here, let me share some examples with you here in the Bible and through church history here. It talks about Apollos. It says that he was described as being fervent in spirit. I like what it says about Apollos. It says he was eloquent. You know, that's amazing. You can be an eloquent person. That is not wrong. It said he was mighty in scriptures. He knew the Old Testament. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. But what ties all of that together is that he was fervent in his spirit. He was fervent in his spirit. That was said about him even before he was converted. But converted to Christianity. He's a Jewish man or a Greek man, but yet he knows of the things of God in the Old Testament. But it says in verse 28 of Acts 18, once he had been saved, it said, for he mightily convinced the Jews that publicly was showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Thank God this man went from being fervent in the Old Testament to being fervent for Jesus. Where is your fervency? There's some people, they've been known before they got in church. They said, "Man, that person was mighty athletic, mighty talented, had all these different abilities." When you get saved, you can take the abilities that God has given you and use them for the glory of God. If you have a lot of energy, use that energy for the kingdom of God. When I lived for the devil, I did it with all my might. Nobody had to call me up and try to get me here, get me there. I wanted to know where I could go. I wanted to know what I could be a part of. But for some reason, it tends to happen sometimes in the things of God. Somebody will be so fervent out there in the world, and they get saved, don't know what to do anything for Jesus. I've already said this a few weeks ago, but we need all the workers we can get right here at Abundant Life Tabernacle. And when you say, "What do you mean by that, Brother Derek?" We need them all. There's people in the streets that need to hear the gospel. There's nursing homes that need to be evangelized. There's jailhouses that need to be preached in. There's young people that can be picked up on the van. What do we need? Fervency, faithfulness, laboring in the things of God. That's how we can't be content with just hiding out in here and say, well, God's going to send them to our Sunday service. Maybe He will. Maybe He will. But the Bible also tells us that we can go compel them to come. Amen. Wouldn't hurt us to get over here next door and start knocking on some doors. Well, I don't know if I can do it. Yes, you can. If you can't knock on a door, then something's wrong. It ain't hard. Church, next door, here's a bulletin. God bless you. Have a good day. You don't need a degree in anything like that. But we complicate things. We complicate things. And we can do more for the kingdom of God. Well, I don't know. That's just it. It's you. And it's on your shoulders. You need to be fervent. And I'm talking to me too. There's more that I could do even as a pastor. In prayer, I feel the compelling of God. Do more for the kingdom. Do more for His glory. We need to be fervent. Apollos was a man that was fervent. The old missionary to India, Henry Martin, said, "Now let me burn out for God." There's people getting burnt out in the world all the time. People burn out on drugs. It's a new thing nowadays. Don't know. I mean, I can't tell you. I know too much. They call it getting burnout binge watching things on TV. People actually binge watch, which means they start on a Friday and they'll take their whole weekend and try to watch like 40 episodes of something in one weekend. And they say, you can get burnt out doing that. I bet you can. Burn your eyes right out your head. And your brain will probably melt in the process. When it comes to the things of God. He preached 45 minutes. Come on. Can do all these other things. Don't mind being expended for any of the other things. But how about this? How many would say, God, let me burn out for you? I don't know about you. If I get burnt out doing something, I want to be serving God and working for His kingdom. C.T. Studd, the famous missionary, who possessed many of the world's good. He was a wealthy man. He sold it all. And you've heard this quote before, but listen to how this man was so fervent. This is what C.T. Studd said. He wrote, "Some want to live within the sound of a church or a chapel bell." He said, "I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." What does he mean? He said, everybody else may be content just living in religion. He said, "But I want to go to where they are, and I want to compel them. Maybe I can reach one, pull them out of the fire before they enter in." John Wesley, that man of zeal, said this. He said, "Give me 100 men who love God with all their hearts and fear nothing but sin, and I will move the world." Love God with all their hearts and fear nothing but sin, and I will move the world. I could say right here at Abundant Life Tabernacle, if every one of you, and myself included, would love God with all of our hearts and fear nothing but sin and would obey God's will, God can use us and consume us and do more for His glory. It should never be in a church that it falls on the shoulders of one man or two or three or four. We all need to be involved in this. We all need to be involved. Jim Elliot, I believe it was 1958 when he died as a martyr. And if I'm not mistaken, it may have been Ecuador, if I'm not mistaken. But one day, Jim Elliot wrote these words. I mean, read in Hebrews 1 and 7. He said, "His ministers are a flame of fire." I was reading in his diary entry there on the internet. This is what he said in his diary with Hebrews 1 and 7 listed above it. He says, Am I ignitable for God? He said, "Deliver me from the dread asbestos of these things. Saturate me with oil of the Spirit that I may be a flame. But flame is transient, often short-lived. Canst thou bear this, my soul, short life? In me there dwells the spirit of the great short-lived. Whose zeal for God's house consumed him. Make me fuel, flame of God. Make me fuel so I can burn out for you." And that man, as a young man there in Ecuador, as the Indians rushed him and threw spears through his body, believed that he could be expended for the kingdom of God. Now we hear that and say, man, that's extreme. How radical. Do you know every one of the apostles died a martyr's death except John? And even then, they put him in a pot of oil on the Isle of Patmos and couldn't kill him because God wasn't done with him. What are you trying to say, Brother Derek? We can expend ourselves for the cause of God, but once again, here's the American mindset. Well, the American dream, Brother Derek. The American dream. I've got to have this, and I've got to have that. And God may let you have those things. But you have to be willing to sacrifice all for Him if He would so ask you to do so. I'm going to say this, and I hope this is taken like it came to me. One day I was praying before I went to Africa, and God asked me this question, would you die for me? And I'd like to tell you, I jumped up and said, yay, Lord, yay, I would. It took me about 2 hours on my knees. And I'm not exaggerating one bit, 2 hours on my knees, weeping and crying before God, because I realized that even though God didn't ask me to die, He may one day. He may one day. But I wanted to answer that question with an honest heart before I got up from prayer. And it was a few days or a few weeks before I went and quit my job. I figured this, if I'm willing to die for God, I'm willing to quit a job for Him. Sometimes God asks us to do the extreme. And even though He may not require the extreme of you, He wants to know if you're willing to do so. But that sounds so old school to us. It sounds so radical to us in our minds that we feel God would never ask me to do that. But what about the Bible verses that says, pick up your cross and follow me? He ain't talking about following Him to recreational events and doing it the way you want to. He's asking you to be a living martyr for Him. Let's remind ourselves here today. Let me ask you a question. How many wants to be a witness? A New Testament witness. You know what New Testament, you know what the word witness in the New Testament is translated as? Martyr. 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 Which means die for Him. Now again, doesn't mean necessarily, and chances are most of us probably will not die a martyr's death, at least that we know of. We're living pretty safe now. And it may be after my life that the persecution comes on such a level. But nevertheless, if it came tomorrow, would you be willing to die for Him? Would you? Now, I'm not asking us to say something just, but I'm asking us to begin to search our hearts and ask ourselves, how fervent are we? Now, I want to move forward here tonight because I realize that time is flying by. When we think of a man that was fervent in spirit, and the one that comes to mind the most, I could tell you about all these different ones. I really begin to think about the Apostle Paul. Man, he was a man that, friend or foe, he wasn't worried about anything else but the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And if we're not careful, we'll lift these men up, put them somewhere on such a pedestal, that we'll maybe think to ourselves, that was the Apostle Paul. But can I tell you that we need to have the same willingness to do the will of God that he had? Apostle Paul, if it would be shipwrecked, if it would be being beaten with rods or cat of nine tails or put in prison, every moment he looked for an opportunity to do something for the kingdom of God. What caused him to do it? Fervency. Fervency. Fervent. Stand to your feet tonight. I feel like I could press the point more, but I think we're here tonight. And we gotta pray in the altars, church. We've got to. We've got to ask God to help us. We've got to. Why? Because we need His help. Many of us, myself included, need to be reminded. Many of our hearts, our minds need to be renewed. We need a referee. People, we talk about revival, but I'm telling you, just as much as we need a revival, we need a reformation of the way that we think about the kingdom of God. If we're not careful, we can care so much about it. And once again, I know God allows to go on a vacation some. I know that. God will allow you to enjoy times with your family. But I'm telling you, there should be a great amount of time of your life being used for the kingdom of God. I work a job. That's your mission field. That's your mission field. Be fervent. Be fervent. Appreciate Brother Lowry. We often talk. He's got these clever ways of engaging with customers at that mark. You know what that is? That's fervency. That's fervency. And I know many of you, sometimes we don't all get to talk all the time. You don't get to share. I know time doesn't allow us to share everything with each other all the time. But I believe you're fervent people in your heart. But God, who wants a bigger flame in their spirit? One writer put it this way. He said, I'm afraid that many Christians rust out when they should rather wear out. They rust out instead of wear out. But can we ask God to use us in our mortal bodies to wear out for the kingdom of God? Can we do that? I was raised, once again, before we pray, I was raised under fervent men that didn't always, none of them that I know ever went to a seminary. As a matter of fact, the church I came up in, I don't know of anybody in the fellowship that had a degree in anything. They just preached. But I'll tell you right now, they were fervent. Nothing wrong with having a degree. I'm trying to work on one myself, and there's no end in sight, it feels like. But you know what? I don't want it ever to steal my fervency for the kingdom of God. Don't let anything steal your fervency, church. There was preachers that I read about that couldn't even read. They would have their wife sit on the front pew, and he would tell his wife. His wife would read the Bible to him during the day. They would read the Bible throughout the year. She would read to him, and he'd try to learn and read and could never learn, and he'd tell his wife, sweetie, turn here and read there out of memory. And she would read down a few verses. He'd tell her to stop. He said, I'm going to preach right there for a little bit. And he'd preach with all his heart and preach with everything within him. After he felt the anointing lift, he'd say, read on, sweetie, read on. Some of the men never had money, never had big homes, or in a lot. When, you know what? A lot of them passed away and none of us even know their names. But God knows their names. How many knows that's more important than anything, that he knows my name? Church, I love you tonight. I just want to be fervent. I want to be fervent. Find you a place to pray in these altars. Ask God to touch your heart, to ignite your spirit here this evening. God, I don't want to rust out. I want to wear out for the kingdom of God. Those that sing, sing in fervency. Those that worship, worship in fervency. Those that preach, preach in fervency. Those that teach Sunday school, be fervent. Oh God, I ask you to ignite my heart. Ignite